Hi and welcome to DJ and BJJ with me, Irish Mike, and my co-host.
Ken.
How are you getting on?
I'm doing alright, mate.
What do you reckon? Waterproof phone?
Not so sure about the waterproof phone. That's the thing with having guests though, man. You know, people are busy. Yeah. Everyone's busy, you know. It's not like we're paying them to come on. Not like we can really offer them much. If we're honest, they're probably doing more for us than we are for them. 100%. So, like, you know, we work around people, and if people can't make it, then we just talk some nonsense for half an hour, I suppose. But
well, we do that anyway, but you, at least having someone else in there to drown out a bit of nonsense, or maybe draw some attention to the nonsense we're speaking.
Yeah, it'd like actually break up the stuff for the people that train with us and have probably heard all this through the week.
Yeah.
And break it up with something that's original material. But
our 10 listeners have heard us say all this during the week.
10. Optimistic there, mate. But yeah, how you going, man? How's your week been?
Yeah, quiet. Obviously, with injuries and that. I was going to train comp last Monday, and then you were like I suppose you're taking time off, Lucas said, and you were like, do you know him? And I was like, do you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be so retarded and actually listen to people and not train like in a high intensity class.
You hadn't had your back looked at when we last recorded, had you?
I had, yeah. Well, it hasn't really been looked at still, but like it's...
Had you? Because I swear, like, at some point in the last week or so, like, definitely between our last recording and now, you like messaged in the chat and was like, yeah, the doctor's like referred me for a spinal consultation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been told to not train jiu-jitsu.
And yeah, but like, that's what everybody says. They're like, don't smoke, don't do this. You know what I mean? I know a fucking fella's in the pub, fucking 90 years of age, smoked all their lives and drank. You know what I mean? What's a bit of jiu-jitsu in your back? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, by that logic,
I mean, all I need to do is get on the fucking stage, like, which still hasn't happened because I don't have the gall to go into a pharmacy and act like I'm a crackhead and ask for needles. So someone help me out.
You don't have to do much acting, fam. If you roll in,
so you're saying I look like
if you roll into Oxford Road Pharmacy after a training session, let's say you're a little bit dishevelled after a training session, you got your Tipperary jacket on, you walk in there, you don't even have to say anything. If you get in the right queue and just look vacant-eyed, have a couple of pints first as well, they'll be like, oh, this fella, we know what he's in for.
So you reckon it's a small stretch for me to look like a crackhead, like?
I think it's a small stretch for any of us to look like a crackhead, bruv.
I've way too much weight in me. I've actually put, yeah, that's the most disturbing thing of the whole lot. I've 6 kilos put on. And it's just trying to, I lose that weight, no problem. When I get back to work, because I'm still not working as well.
So you've got 6 kilos on, what, off being off training and off work? Both of the two of them, it's like
Because I haven't been, like, I have been training, but it's been very intermittent. Like, I've done a minimum of, minimum of 3, maximum of 4 and that's including an open mat where I don't really do much, but I haven't been sparring then properly either. I've drilled, so
we did some drilling this morning, and like I'm a massive hypocrite really, because I say to everyone when they're like talking about jiu-jitsu, they're like, oh yeah, I think there's a lot of benefit to, you know, doing lower intensity roles, doing those like 20 to 50% more flowy roles where you kind of explore positions, don't throw subs on, give people time to work out of positions. I think there's a lot of benefit to drilling.
Heel hook and white belt to the gi.
I tell new people this all the time, and then I proceed to do neither.
But that's the way, that's just jiu-jitsu though.
Doing rounds is so much fun. It's like really tough to, like back when I used to play poker, you get better by studying off the tables, off the felt, you know, doing the work on the maths in the background of it, like, you know, so you know that you're making mathematically correct decisions, yeah. You're reviewing old hands and making sure that you made the right decision or if you made an error. And jiu-jitsu in that sense, the same with chess, like any kind, you know, skill-based strategy game, doing that, you know, non-live rehearsal of positions or situations is going to get you better at it. And but the actual doing of it is the really fun thing that got you through the door in the first place. So it's really tough.
All we want to do is go and spare. Like, if there wasn't any competitions and you were just sparing, you'd still be happy. Like,
but this morning I found super useful. So like, it made me think. Like, where I was, you know, I often will train 3-4 mornings on the trot.
Mm.
I might start breaking those up, do one roll in, one drill in, one roll in, one drill in, because like some of the, just, you know, having squish there as well, like, you know, like we could drill something a little bit and then I could ask him a question, and it actually worked really, really well. So
it's, it's a lot more calmer in the mornings though as well, because it's a bit more intimate, isn't it? Because the mat isn't the full mat.
And also, I'm trying to think of how to word this without insulting Dominic, so I'm just going to say as it comes out. The sort of class we had this morning, you don't get that with Dom. You know, where me and you can kind of maybe work on something that isn't a technique that's been shown, mm-hmm. and drill something around that a little bit, or like, you know, work on a few steps down the line.
Yeah, I think it was around the technique, though.
It was. But...
I think you don't ask him enough questions, though.
What, Dom?
Well, I'm saying, like, you ask Chris that question. Would you have asked Dom that question?
Probably. I've started.
Probably.
Yeah, no. Like, I think it's more
because I don't like asking questions. Like,
is that because you're worried about how he's going to perceive you? Be like, that's a stupid question from a stupid student.
No, well, we both know both those things are true. There's no fear of that. It's just, I don't know. It's just asking. I feel like, yeah, probably just feeling stupid myself. Like,
to be fair, I've realised I ask way more questions in the morning than in the evening class. I think having that smaller class does make me more like willing to be like, you know, let's say you've got a class of 20, 30 people and you're the only one that wants to ask a question. You're like, am I seriously going to hold up all of these people's drilling and rolling because of my selfish question? But when I've got a class of 8 people, I feel less selfish doing that. I'm like, no, I'm going to ask my question.
That's fair.
And I do think asking questions is important, but I think like live drilling like we were this morning, rather than just passively running through the same.
Yeah.
You know, once we'd both done the technique.
We were actually talking about
that. And we're able to do the technique. Yeah, like once we'd both kind of run through the technique with almost zero resistance and a compliant partner, it's like, okay, what happens if you post here? And
We did little bits and pieces, like what happens if you've no hands, what happens if he attacks this way. We were working around a...
like little toy games, like games within the game. And I actually think for me and how I learn, that's really, really important. And I couldn't think about
these things. I'd have to do it like live rolling. Yeah, it's definitely 100%.
I want to do more of that. So that was a nice switch up from the endless rounds of the comp training that's been going on recently. So you how has yours been going? Because obviously 2 weeks ago we had a conversation and you were like, you know, you taking a personal goal of improving your cardio and gas tank. What steps have you taken to do that?
No, I was doing the bike at home. I sent you that video.
Yeah.
I can't really post the video.
I was in my underwear. Don't scare other people up with that. That would get you flagged. That'll get you a strike on the account for sure, mate.
Me in my underwear fucking cycling a bike watching Shogun on Disney holding my junk because I didn't mind junk fucking.
I just remember being a very strange video watching like some kung fu movie on an exercise bike holding your old boy, and I was like, this is not what I expected on a Thursday morning or whenever it was.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, why are you doing that? Well, it's like, I don't ever claim to have fucking any big size of a fucking thing at all. Like, you know, I mean, I was probably looking for it more than anything, but like, I was just holding it so it wasn't in view on screen.
Jesus, like. Michael, what I meant was, why are you even sharing this with us?
Our chat. I mean, here, everybody knows WhatsApp chat. If your WhatsApp chat doesn't have some instances of things you can't say to people or show to people in real life, you have the wrong friends.
You got the wrong friendship group.
Yeah, you definitely are. You're not, you know, I don't know. You're all actually really murdering people in the background because which are true people, you can't share who you are. Like, you know? But anyway, so I was doing exercise. I'd done an hour on the bike, yeah? So that's cardio. And then I did the competition class on Friday. And after the competition class, we were doing the judo, the kind of judo throws. Don't ask me the name. And
it was the... fireman's carry counter to the single leg, wasn't it?
That's it, yeah.
What's the Japanese for fireman's carry?
I was about to slip there and let the mask off and say something racist or prejudice or whatever way they'd call it and put on an accent, but no, I won't, even though everybody puts accents on when they say things to me, you know, it seems to be like this street that everyone else is allowed to walk, but I can't.
You can walk it, mate.
No, I'm not going to.
Walk it. Say what you were going to say.
But anyway, so I was broke up on Saturday. Like, I mean, fucking, I'd say sciatica there lately, like, which is why I actually went to see the doctor about my back. And, I've been complaining about my back before in the podcast, actually, back before Christmas and that. But it's probably all from the one thing. And I was just broke up. Like, I was walking around the place in pain all day, like. And I was just like, fuck this. And then I was like, maybe I do need to stop going ham, like, you know. And then I was like, I can't do comp class Monday because I was still sore Sunday, and I'm missing doing the comp classes because I need those two comp classes I did were fantastic. And like, it was the, it's the, you'd need this intensity. The intensity we're going, the way we were being coached, it wasn't an ordinary class. Like, it was, it's what you need. Like, you need that fire in the belly.
So we just do a quick warm up and then we'll do some stand up drills, won't we? And then it'll be positional usually, and then maybe some rounds to finish. Or
Dom is going around and he's saying, You're not doing that right. Yeah. You need to do this. And like, he's on your case.
And that's it. And within each section, like, let's say after we've just done the stand up drills, he will like bring the group back in, and then he will just address some of the key errors that like the general population of the group are making.
Yeah, but he's also calling you out as you're doing it and saying, you need to do this, you need to put your hand here, pull more here, lift more here. All these key details that, like, when I was telling me, they were making. And because, like, we're working in pairs, like, and he's just walking around, he's giving everybody little key bits that they're making wrong. And it was actually fantastic. And I was like, I felt like, do you know the way, like, I don't think jiu-jitsu is really fucking for the street or whatever. Like, you know, it's like, you don't want to be banging your head off concrete. But I was just going, man, if some cunt when came near me, I'd catch his jacket and fire him straight over my head and bust him off the concrete with that fucking throw. It was unbelievable. I was like, I love a single leg. Like, single leg would be my go-to for a takedown. Or else there's that one where you catch the underhook and try and trip him. I can't think of that one where it's like you kind of scorpion kick up. But,
Well, you've got the overhook.
Overhook, sorry, yeah.
And then you. And like I don't know the Japanese, but it's like the hip throw.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I was nearly going to go again. But, you're just setting me up.
Like. I'm trying. I'm gonna get some Japanese input from you by the end of the pod.
But,
which might be 5 minutes at this rate.
But. As I said, like, I like the single legs and I like that one, but this is something I actually taught. Geez, that's something I'd try, like. I would try that. Now, I'd probably get my back taken in the first time I try it, but I'd be willing to drill it more and then try it closer to comp. So I'm just trying to figure out how to get healthy, basically. Keep healthy and compete, because people are talking to me and saying, you shouldn't compete. And I'm like, it's the first competition in Reading. I'd like to compete even if, well, I don't know, it's a long way to see when I get looked at and stuff like that. So, like, I could get a bit healthier enough to do the comp.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd hate to not do the comp. I prefer to do the comp and not come somewhere, or come somewhere insignificant and have a chance at getting gold and being the first Reading comp, first 88 kilo of Master 2 fucking gold one in the one that they had.
Let me, like, obviously offer up an alternative scenario to that. Paralysis.
It's like, you can't do no more jiu-jitsu now because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, so what's your choice then, Mum? Like, first Reading competition in a wheelchair, or no Reading competition in a life of walking?
I mean, I don't really like walking anywhere anyway, and I've seen people with, like, disabilities doing jiu-jitsu, so I'm like, let's go. Tie them two fucking legs together. And
this man's never tapping into a leg lock again.
Break that bitch. But, yeah, I don't know.
Time sensitive.
Huh?
Yeah, fuck it. just having a moment like you did with the Japanese comments, but I just self-editing after saying it, whereas you're doing it beforehand, which is probably...
Oh, yeah. My mind works different to yours, though.
I don't know about that. Well, actually, yeah, I do. Obviously comp training for me, just to answer, like, thanks for asking, Mike.
I was going to ask, were you doing anything outside like you normally used to? Are you still doing your strength and conditioning?
I've dropped it down to 3 days a week now with the kettlebells. So pretty much, like, I don't know if I said this on the last pod, so I'll skim over it in case I am repeating myself. My memory is appalling for multiple reasons.
My brother.
Yeah. So you were similar in that sense. Different reasons, though. I keep getting injured. You know, my shoulder dislocated in, like, you know, the week before the last comp, the time before my rib popped, the before Brighton. And
you went through a series of
One of the things that Dom said to me was, like, look at how you're training. You know, what's going on? What are the common themes before you get an injury? And, like, he wasn't inferring anything. He was just telling me to go away and look at that. Mm. And you know, I normally walk around between 78 and 80 kilos, drop into, you know, 76 in the gi, which means on the day I'm probably weighing 74, is a bit of a cut for me. Mm.
Team no wake up.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, at the moment I'm now, I was 82 on Monday, you know, it's 82 in the gi. I'm carrying a little bit more weight. I'm doing the twice a week conditioning. So like one of them's like on the mat and then the other one sprints, but they're all kind of just high intensity interval training variations. And then I'm doing 4 mornings a week and then the Sunday open mat. And then I'll probably do a few away days on Saturdays between here and the comp. So with all of that and, you know, just work and life, and then, you know, trying to not get injured and having at least one full rest day where I do no weights and no sprints, like, and trying to not ever do more than a double in the day, like, you know, either jiu-jitsu and sprints or jiu-jitsu and weights. I've dropped the kettlebells back to 3 days a week, and I only do one heavy day a week as well. Oh, the rest are mostly just like,
you know, movement.
Movement. Like the one I do on a Saturday normally is really light, just like, because I'll do it after the sprints on a Saturday morning, which is like, I've usually done a run of 3 days training in a row where I'll do doubles and then I'll do the sprints and I'll do a super light session. And honestly, mate, like, that's probably the best thing I've ever done for my recovery.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was expecting after doing like the hill sprints for my legs to be absolutely fucked the next day. I did these light squats and some light get-ups and light swings. And then, you know, the next day I was at open mat with you, Lucas and Bobby, able to get good rounds and not feel. So I do think there's something to be said for that. But also, you know, planning your training around what your goal is. My goal is to get into good cardio shape and good jiu-jitsu shape for the comp.
I feel like I'm just fucking bailing out excuses, like, do you know what I mean?
Bro, like, I know that you're not a man to make excuses. Like, you know, it's been your kind of training partners around you that have been saying, take some time off.
Yeah.
You know, you were worried, like, you know, and I've said, like, I will train through a fucking dodgy shoulder, a dodgy knee, a dodgy elbow. And if that pops, that pops. And like, a knee's going to fuck up your life a little bit with work and stuff. But like, backs, necks, and cardio issues, like, not just you've got a shit gas tank, I'm talking about cardiovascular in terms of like potential heart problems, like, they're not things that you fuck about with, man. They're things that if it does go wrong, it can
impact your life.
We joke about like being like paralyzed, but like, seriously, if something like that did happen, like, it's going to really fuck up your life completely. You know, a knee injury, you might need surgery, you might need a year or so, but you do long-term damage to your back, that can, like, you know, that's something that can, like, fuck up your proper, you know, not just your jiu-jitsu, it can, like, every element of your life. Like, you know, when you've got a bad back, you know how much it just fucking weighs on you all the time anyway.
Like, it's been getting worse, like, and I can't blame jiu-jitsu because, like, I had 2 years where it didn't pain me, you know? And I don't know. I think I need to start doing some strength and conditioning and strengthen up my back. Like, I believe, like, if I strengthen the muscles around the back, that I can reduce the pain, because I never had pain when I was in the gym and all the gear and everything like that. And lifting, like, do you know that meme where the dog is squatting over for a shite and that's how some people deadlift? Like, that was how I used deadlift. Like, I used to start off with the lovely straight back, and the very minute I go to pull the weight, my fucking shoulders would round instantly, like. And, like, I pulled every weight I could, like, you know. Well, with relatively good form, but I never hurt my back once. And I don't know, I'm just an old, bet up man, like, I just feel like it. Yeah. But the fire is there, like.
No, I can tell it is, like, you know, it's just fucking pissing you off having to take time off of training, even when you're coming in and not rolling. And I could see today it was annoying you, like.
Do you know what? It was with Richie. Shout out to Richie. But we were doing some of the dart stuff that I like to do and some of the guillotine stuff from half guard and from the cradle. And, like, that was good fun because it's something I enjoy doing. But it's still just, it, like, I said to him, I said, thanks. The same thing to you today, like, it's like, thanks for not making me spare today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I just need someone that's going to go, yeah, we're going to go over here into the corner and we're going to fucking drill. Because at least if I'm drilling, I'm still
getting better at jiu-jitsu. It takes a lot of discipline to do that as well, though. Like, I realised, like, if I, like, we'll talk about London Grapple and our plans for the weekend in a bit, but, like, if we didn't have comp class tomorrow morning, then London Grapple on Saturday, I would have sparred this morning. But because I went quite hard yesterday, you know, sparring then sprints, and then, you know, if I do it today, tomorrow, and Saturday, I'm going to get injured, you know, or I'm going to just be like,
you'd be completely body spending too
completely
much.
Completely broke up and need recover. To take a few days off next week, you know, probably have some beers. It's the Easter weekend, so, you know, just double inflammation from training and alcohol and whatever else I abuse over the weekend. And then, we'll be paying for it on Monday or Tuesday. So, yeah, I'm like I say, mate, I actually think I'm going to make that after the comp. training definitely when I put together my new training schedule.
I mean, I'd always thought, like, because obviously it's my birthday this weekend as well, and it's Easter weekend, so, like, I'd always thought, like, I'm kind of going to fuck myself up over this weekend anyway, so I was going to go into serious fucking mode after Monday, like, and, yeah, I don't know, I'm still considering it. I'm thinking I'm going to at least have to do one comp class a week, so I'll either be doing next Wednesday or next Friday.
Nice, man. Yeah, definitely. Like,
I need to get a job. I mean, I don't want to be saying Friday this far away from Friday.
All this talk of jiu-jitsu, I really need a job, man.
Yeah, it's just like, I need a job that allows me to finish early enough to keep doing jiu-jitsu, making a half six class. That's all I need to do. Get paid lots of money, get bed.
Come to the mornings, mate. Mm-mm. Oh, that will never be an option in your trade, will it?
No, I have to get up at six usually.
Yeah, oh, fuck that. I don't even get up for that early when I'm training in the mornings.
I got up. I knew when you text last night, I'll believe it when I see it, when you were going to be there this morning. I was like, my alarm went off 6:15 and I was like, I don't want to get up. And I was like, can't again win this one.
Good, mate. I'm glad you were embodying my...
And I also wanted to wear the AMP gi as well, see what it was like.
That new Harp one, right?
Yeah, it's savage.
Green with...
Envy.
With Celtic... Celtic knots all over it.
Yeah, Celtic knots. Yeah, it's fucking savage.
It's a cool gi. To be fair, mate, like when they hit the money, they do really well with their gis. Like, they hit the money in terms of figuratively and literally.
Yeah, 200 quid, like
with shipping, you're usually lucky to get change out of two bills. And,
but you know what? It's very like the Hyperfly one. It's very similar to the yellow one.
It's way. I'm like, it's not just shit on Hyperfly. Use code ZachFly if ever you're ordering from it. But like, mate, the in my opinion, like comparing that like Starlight to the, you know, a full cotton one, it's night and day. Like,
yeah, no, it is a bit different, but it's
the texture of the material and the stitch and stuff. It's like, I think
the lightness of it feels similar, like, because it's a nice light gi.
Yeah, it's surprisingly light considering it's a full cotton gi. It's not like ripstop or anything like that. Yeah.
But I do
love their shit, mate, to be honest.
Speaking about rash guards and stuff then as well, so obviously
the rash guard scandal, yeah.
The rash guards came and
the rash guard gate
they were tiny. And like, so, and basically, luckily enough,
I was making a joke the week before when you were like, oh, they're on delivery. I was like, I hope that it's just like we were saying on the last episode,
you said, I hope they come and they're in the doll size.
They're like doll sizes, so it was all some type of like,
you put the kibosh on it.
I put bad fucking vibes on this completely, but I was like joking. I was like, I hope they're like the suitable size for like Ken dolls or something like that. You know, they're like,
it wasn't too far off, like. I mean, your Ken, and it wouldn't fit you, like, the large wouldn't fit you, like.
Yeah, the large I squeezed into for a gym workout today just to see how it fitted, and I,
But luckily, ye spotted, so they went off the UK sizes, which is actually the same that's on the Scramble, and those sizes aren't the sizes that your medium are. The sizes on the Scramble website are not the sizes that your rash guard is or mine.
So I think that's an old size chart, because, like, when I used to order from Scramble, I used to have to size up.
Mm.
I'd size up because the sizing was too small for me.
Okay.
And like,
they just haven't updated their size.
And recently, the last pair of those
shorts
I bought, the double compression shorts, I was like, these are way. So the shorts I never sized up on because I liked them fitting like short shorts. Mm-hmm. Like, show off those glorious legs that I've got.
Gazelle.
So I ordered them. I was like, hang on. These aren't showing off my legs quite as much as I wanted. And it turns out that, I think that their sizing, their manufacturing has gone up a size. Like, so you don't have to order up anymore. Because then I ordered that blue rashi as well. And that was, I ordered in a medium, whereas before savage. I'd have ordered it in a large.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I ordered it in a medium and it fits fine. So, yeah I think they've maybe got their old sizing chart on.
It's off by a lot, though.
Because we measured my... Medium, and it was the same dimensions as the large on the chart, so we could send it over to the fabricators. So we'd obviously ordered that, and by we, Michael ordered it, like we talked about. They arrived small, and
but luckily enough, he spotted the logo. We couldn't spell it properly.
We thought we were fucked, but thankfully there was an error in the manufacturing process, and they'd missed one of the I's out of original.
Yeah, original.
Yeah, so it was original. We got that original, and.
I put a thing into PayPal and he was like, no.
Initially you tried to like say to them, oh, mate, can you resend me these rash guards with the correct product. And the guy was like, I'll give you a discount off of your next order. It's like, what the fuck do I want to make another order from when you've, when you've not fulfilled the first one?
And I said to him, like, I'll send you back the other, knowing full well they're a custom thing, like he's never going to ever be able to use them again. I was like, I'll send you back all 24 items, like, you know, they're no good to me. And he's like, you can sell them for a reduced price. I was like, yeah, I'm going to make the first fucking thing I make with my brand on it, like, wrong. Spelled wrong. Spelled incorrectly. My brand spelled incorrectly. Like, you know, yeah, thanks very much for your input, but no. And then I was like, to be fair, if they were the right size, that would be pretty on brand for something we do in the podcast, if something spelled wrong. So I was like, I have children's size or small size, 24 rash guards. If you want them, if somebody knows someone that's like can't afford gear, right? Or if you know a gym that does stuff for children, it does say degenerate jiu-jitsu on it.
Okay? Or you're like, you know, if someone's doing a project like that, Francis Ngannou project, where they do, actually that might be worth messaging.
Something more closer to home, but like,
yeah, I don't know, it's all good.
I was going to do anything, I'd send them back to Ireland because they're Irish jerseys, like, you know. So I'm just saying, anyone, if anyone has a reasonable thing, I'll post them for out of my own.
All I'm thinking is, where are people doing jiu-jitsu projects for people that, you know, don't have access to
subs on the sand? That crowd do it, because I was supposed to send them my three Matt
House. Down in Weymouth from the Combat Lab.
Yeah, the Combat Lab does classes for people, and they don't charge them for kids.
I remember they do a they do like a disabilities day as well, where it's like
people, very involved in the community.
People that are older, and because I looked and like. You know, like the after training pictures that like every gym puts up, where it's a bunch of, you know, middle aged men, half of them bald, a couple of
all right, relax, mate, will you? You're hitting the fucking something here.
A couple of ladies, and you know, it's like it's just the stereotypical after training photo. Yeah. I saw one go up on their page, and I was like, that's not a stereotypical after training photo. That's an eclectic group of people. Mm. And I looked into it a bit, and they do like a, it's like a, I'm pretty sure it's them, it's like a free session for people with like disabilities, learning difficulties, mobility issues, and it's all just to get people in the area active. So it might be worth reaching out to them and seeing if we could.
I was messaging, well, I was putting up some memes and stuff, and I have a bit of back and forth with someone on the page, Kieran Moore, I think is his name, but he is a young lad, and he is, I don't know what disability he has, I wouldn't claim to say, but one of the guys in his weight class, like that's an All-British champion, European champion, all this, he gave him a match that wasn't recorded on the thing, like, so they let the young fella take him down and stuff like that, so the child got to experience cool. Oh man, it's so wholesome, like. I was just like, it's, you know, like, I'm an ignorant cunt at the most of the times, like, do you know what I mean? But like, that was proper wholesome content. Like, I did share it on the page as well, like, people might have seen it. But yeah, it's, I mean, if you clicked in, you probably wouldn't have noticed until you click in, like, but it was just, it's cool stuff, like.
Isn't it time they do something like that in Brazil? It's that this lad that's got some sort of disability and they have to carry him to the mats. It's like a white belt and he's against some purple, and a purple lad. Sweeps, mounts, submits in about 15 seconds.
It's about to be left.
And it, like, it's brutal, but because it's so Brazilian. So brutal, it is just like, wow, this guy takes his jiu-jitsu seriously. He's not even for the, like, for the cameras and for the moment and for this guy. I'll find it and send it to you. It's so savage. It's funny.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah. Well,
it's just like people that don't, like.
And that's what you get when you mess with the warrior.
Yeah, that's when he's the warrior in the garden or whatever. Right? Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. He is. Yeah, that was a gardener in a war, mate.
Oh, whatever the fuck. Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know either, mate.
So look, I look into it, but it's only close people. We don't have. I might put something on the page itself because it turns to reach more people. But we'll see. I'd like to help someone.
I was going to say it'd be nice to do something with them, because one thing I will say is, having used one today for a kettlebell workout, like, the quality of them is fantastic. Like, you know, they're really good quality rash guards. You know, some rash guards you'll buy like from different brands and then you'll get like too hot wearing them.
Yeah.
They're almost like a second skin and they're like, they're too hot. None of that. And the thing that really impressed me was the, like, all the logos and stuff are then it's all stitched, embroidered, like
it
So it's not screen printed, like, you know, like that you're wearing now, it's like
it's like a sticker, like
it's like it's like printed, pressed and printed on. But all of that, it's all part of the actual rash guard. The quality of them is really, really cool, man. So I'm hoping that when the next lot come through, they're suitably sized with no typos. And I'm looking forward to rocking.
I mean, we've
one.
Given them measurements of everything, and I've actually gone to another supplier.
We also gave them the PDF image of the thing that they somehow managed to spell incorrectly. Yeah. So I don't understand how that image has been taken from Google Drive, put onto a Rashi, and then somehow in the transfer process they deleted a letter from it. But
it is weird. Like,
there's bigger mysteries out there, mate.
So I don't know. So we'll look at helping fucking people out if we can, you know. Most rash guards are 30 to 40 quid. I'll post them for free, like.
If anyone's got any suggestions, like, where we can maybe ship them off to, let us know.
Or even just send the link of the page to someone. If someone asks me for a rash guard, and I think, like, that there's someone that's struggling or something. Because I like to help struggling people, not just people that just want a rash guard. Do you know, because, like, I don't
want... Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if we're going to send them all on as a batch lot, it's obviously got to be to someone that's doing some sort of outreach work. And if it's
mind if it's five and here and five there.
If you're sending a few out at a time, it's just then anywhere that's, like, a worthy cause, let us know. Mm. That's Rash Guard Scandal. Just to finish up on the comp training thing, actually, because we got sidetracked into this. Like, I think 2 weeks ago, when we last recorded, I was, like, it was the first week of comp training. And I was like, it's given me a kind of
new
it's relit the fire. I'm not quite that. I'm not going to go that far.
For your jiu-jitsu.
But it's relit the fire under me. I've got really focused training, and all of that still remains true. But I fucking hate it. I'm already 3 weeks in. I'm at the point where, like, Tuesday before doing the no-gi and sprints double on Wednesday, Tuesday night, I was in bed being like, why the fuck in my mid-30s am I doing this?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got, you know, a nice missus, a nice house, a nice life. I don't need to suffer like this anymore, Michael.
Is it suffering, though? I think it's giant. So it's a skill. You're learning a skill, so, as well.
Yeah. The jiu-jitsu part's still very fun.
Yeah. The
conditioning, I think, is what I'm talking about. But it's a necessary evil, and it allows you to go into the comp feeling like I left no stone unturned in terms of, like, you know, I definitely needed to work on my gas tank a bit, you know, to be able to get those deeper rounds. So I'm, you know, joking aside, I am enjoying the benefits. But
if I'm not working by next Wednesday, I'll join you in the conditioning on the mat.
Do a double. Do no-gi before.
Get
a double in. It's nice.
Just to see what it's like, because I just need to test the knee. I didn't want to be going running around the place with the knee either. I mean, that's an excuse, really, to be honest. I just hate it. Any excuse I can use to get out of fucking cardio, I'll use. But I feel bad because... like, the coach is putting his time into us, you know what I mean? Going up to Prospect Park and putting his time in. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to compete. I said I'll compete. There's 45 names on the time I checked. And how many people are showing up? 8? 9? It is shit how it is, like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know this, like, you know, but fucking it's... I don't know. How much can you use your excuse? Like, I don't know. Fucking, that's why I'm like...
A lot of people, I think, don't... really think this is a necessary component of their jiu-jitsu.
It depends on how fit you are. It's like the sprint training is going fast, slowing down, going fast, slowing down, which is exactly what you do for your jiu-jitsu. You put the pressure, you put it on, you get your points, you stop, you catch your breath, then you go again, then you et cetera, et cetera. Or you get up, you scramble, you take your position, you hold for a second. You know, it's perfect, like.
The thing for me as well is like to get the gains of, like, you know, your VO2 max and, like, you know, really redline your heart rate, so you get used to being in that really uncomfortable I can barely breathe position. It's really difficult to do that doing jiu-jitsu regularly, because you're putting yourself at massive risk of injury. Every single time you get to that point in jiu-jitsu, you're going to be tired, you're going to be making suboptimal mistakes, you know, you're probably going to be moving quickly, because you're going to have to be in a kind of comps level role to do that. And that's when you risk injury. So I think it's a much safer way of putting yourself in that position physically and mentally without having the risk of a catastrophic injury, which you get when you're doing it at jiu-jitsu. And I do think, like, look, put it this way. If you can, let's say you've only got 3 hours a week, then maybe you shouldn't be competing. But let's say you're going to compete and you've only got 3 hours a week. Definitely put that time into jiu-jitsu. But if you have a bit more time, let's say you have 5 hours, then maybe do 3 to 4 hours of jiu-jitsu and 1 to 2 hours of conditioning.
To do something anyway.
I think, like, you know, ultimately what is going to win your competition is going to be your jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But if within a minute you are so fucked you can't think, or if after the first match you're in match two completely gassed, blowing out your ass, you're not going to be able to do your jiu-jitsu. So unfortunately, the thing that no one wants to hear is that it is a necessary evil, especially the level of fitness that most jiu-jitsu people are. You know, most people that do jiu-jitsu are not like martial arts in general, bro. It's like, it's the geeky kids, you know, it's the kids that maybe got bullied a bit at school. Like, I know that MMA is kind of changing that a little bit now, but like generally the people that are attracted to martial arts, and if you go into a normal jiu-jitsu academy, you're going to see, you know, we've made the comment hundreds of times, you've got oddballs and MMA fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot more oddballs than there are anything else. Yeah. And it's like, those aren't people that are naturally attracted to conventional exercise. Conventional, you know, there may be people that didn't do a sport when they were younger. So
I never
built up that baseline of fitness. So, like, I think this is important. And you do notice it at comps. How many times have you been to a comp and seen someone that you know is really good at jiu-jitsu just get steamrolled by someone that's more active?
Well, I don't know I'm really good at jiu-jitsu, but yeah, it happens to me regularly. On the mat as well.
So. I think that might be the least self-deprecating you've ever been. By putting your hand up there. I guess most people who are listening, they can't see, but Mike just raised his hand when I made that point. So, I think he's thinking that he's got fantastic jiu-jitsu, so
I don't think it's bad for my level. I also don't think I'm at where my level is at, so like where I think my level is at and what's on my belt is reflective of each other.
Jesus, Mike, I'm confused just listening to it.
But anyway, yeah, moving swiftly along
to what,
the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, we were gonna put out an interview, haven't been able to, so we've managed to talk about a bit of training, a bit of nonsense, and wrap the Rashguard scandal. Hopefully we'll have a more positive update regarding Rashguards next time. Have we got a lead time on those, or is it all up in the air at the moment?
I haven't got anything yet, but I paid for the other crowd, which is just a few for the few of us.
A little sample this time.
Yeah,
once bitten, twice shy.
You did say to me, so you didn't get any sample and you didn't do any of this. And I was like, no, I just fucking ordered them. They look good on the thing. And like, but I could never see the DGEN logo. They were always folded in such a way or taken out a shot.
Do you think they knew they'd misspelt it?
What?
Do you think they knew they misspelt it?
No, he didn't. He didn't even know what was wrong when I messaged him. He's like, that's fine. I was like, no, it's not fine. Someone's having a conversation next door.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least it's not a dog this time.
Exactly, that's it. We tried setting up in the...
We're in a different location today.
In the lounge room rather than in the loft.
So you didn't get to listen to 45 minutes of rain instead of just...
Yeah, that's it. We were thinking of those people that love to complain about the audio quality. We're doing what we can with the equipment we've got, guys. You don't realise what goes on behind the scenes here. Very little, but something.
Something's happening.
But so rash guards will come when they'll come. We'll announce that, and hopefully
I'm probably going to set up a shop in orders.
We've got one order from Tasmania. We actually do. We went to Jim, who's the listener, a lad I went to school with, that's just started. Have I mentioned? I think he just did. He did his first comp a few weeks ago. Oh. They did an inter club. He started training. I can't remember whether he started listening to this podcast and then started training or vice versa.
He's someone you know from?
I know him from school.
Oh, sorry.
We went to secondary school together, and then he met a bird when he was travelling that was from Oz, I think, and then moved to Tasmania with her, or Sydney. He was living in Sydney when I was in Sydney.
Did she say come to Tasmania?
Jesus. So they moved out there. But anyway, he started jiu-jitsu. He had his... He had his first like inter-club comp, and he got a little win. He definitely won at least one match in that, which was cool for him. He looks like he's coming on quite well. You know, some nice passing and back takes and stuff. So he said, provided we're not, well, in his words, it was something along the lines of, providing you're not proving true to your Didcot Pikey roots and charging a 300% markup and a 300% shipping cost. And I was like, all right, just for you, Jim, I'm going
to... I mean, the shipping cost will be what shipping cost is, but yeah, there will be a 300% markup.
Don't tell them. No, for you, mate, you're going to get mates discounts. It's going to cost you as much as it costs us.
And $500.
And if you believe that, I've got $500 dues. Tobias.
Simpsons reference for all you people that don't know what's going
on. Sorry, Dad, I've been ordering rash guards from the DJing crew. On that note, we've descended into madness. So we'll put up a post when we've got the rash guards up online. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll update you, hopefully, of a guest for the next one, but you might have to just put up with us two again. If you are in the market for rash guards that aren't ours, actually, once we've got our own rash guards, are we just going to sack off all these people we shout out and be like, look, buy ours instead?
No. No, there's enough room for everybody.
Yeah. You know, I like that. Famine mindset.
I mean, Salt and Storm do completely different things. To be honest, ex-Marshall, like, we're selling our podcast gear, which has nothing to do with anyone else. So ex-Marshall stuff is kind of out there. I'm going to be following their line of thinking of copywriting, allegedly. But like Salt and Storm is all artwork that's on rash guards, which is cool. Flow State for the shorts, I'm never going to make shorts like that, you know. So I want to make shorts like the scramble ones with the spandex inside.
Two layer compression shorts.
Yeah, I want to make something that we enjoy, and maybe we put something mad on the inside of the compression things, like fucking proper naughty stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, like fucking lines and blasting rails and kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? But anyway.
Phenomenal. I'm excited for that.
I'm just going to put it out there, because I just realised by looking at the guests, some of his old posts that one of the rash guard ideas I had, he had already done, and we'll touch on that when we're speaking to him. Yeah. But I'm going to make a Don't Test Me rash guard with a syringe going into a bottle of test, and the test 250 is going to be the test. I don't know, I'll have to design something around it, but I'm putting it out there now.
Mike's got ideas, guys, keep watching.
Don't test me.
In the interim, if you're looking for any rash guards, use code DGEN10 at xmarshall.com, DGENPOD at flowstate.com, and DGEN for 10% off at saltandstorm.co. You got anything you want to end up on, Mike? Anything you want to
share? Follow, share, and subscribe. Share the podcast, really, please, because... we've had 27,000 interactions, and we've got like 3 links to the podcast off it. So it'd be nice if
maybe not this one. Share your favorite. Go back and share your favorite one that you actually think's engaging and interesting, that will maybe make people listen to more. And if you don't think any of them are like that, then
lie to your friends.
Just lie. Yeah, just tell them they are. Jesus, yeah. They might like it more than you do. Right, as always, guys. Much love. Play it to your nan.